The Fountain, 1917, read for you by Siri Hustvedt. In March 2019, the American novelist Siri Hustvedt wrote an article in The Guardian under the promising title, A Woman in the Men's Room. In it, she explained rather indignantly that this object, the so-called fountain, one of the most famous works in the history of art, wasn't made, as had previously been thought, by Marcel Duchamp, but instead by a certain Baroness Else von Freytag Loringhoven. Why is it hard for people to accept the intellectual and creative authority of artists and writers who are women? Paintings, novels, and philosophy made by men feel more elevated somehow, more serious, while works by women feel flimsier and more emotional. But what if the person behind the urinal was not Duchamp, but the German-born poet and artist, Baroness Else von Freytag Loringhoven? To quickly recap this legendary episode of art history, it was the year 1917. Europe was still at war, and in New York, a group of artists, calling themselves the American Society of Independent Artists, had dreamed up a new salon with a new set of rules. Unlike the classic European salons, which were subject to strict specifications and narrow-minded notions of what constituted good art, the idea was to exhibit every work submitted freely and uncensored. But then this piece showed up, a urinal entitled Fountain, signed with the cryptic name R. Mutt. At that time, long before tins of soup, artists' shit, and fat corners, the idea of putting a ceramic urinal, the kind that could have been bought in any old shop, on display as a work of art, was more than audacious. It was a way of laughing at art, at its creators and viewers, of making them out to be idiots. A ready-made object couldn't be a work of art, decided the jury, which originally, of course, had wanted to be no such thing. And the piece was not exhibited. Scandal, outrage. Suddenly the whole scene was no longer talking about the art on display in the big show, but about one piece that was missing. And that was this pissoir, whose original version probably ended up in the bin. Something that wasn't too terrible, seeing as the discussion it sparked was actually far more important than the object itself. What is art? Is it enough for someone to claim something is art? What even constitutes an artist, then, if they don't actually have to have any talent, but can simply go out and buy an object? It was a break with all the rules that had applied until that point. In 2004, Fountain was voted the most influential work of the 20th century. Without this pissoir, we'd have had neither pop art nor conceptual art. Our galleries and the works that stand or hang in them would look very different. After this work, nothing was ever the same again. After it, and its alleged creator, Marcel Duchamp. Duchamp or Else von Freytag Loringhoven? That is the question. Hustvedt finds evidence for this claim, which has been put forward before, in Irene Gamel's biography of the Baroness. In a letter to his sister Suzanne, Duchamp wrote, "One of my female friends who had adopted the masculine pseudonym Richard Mutt sent in a porcelain urinal as a sculpture. But that isn't all. Mutt was said to be living in Philadelphia, which is where Freytag Loringhoven was living at the time. And it was André Breton who attributed the urinal to Duchamp in 1935. The artist himself didn't take credit for it before 1950. Also, the firm from which Duchamp claimed to have bought the thing, J.L. Mott Ironworks Company, never actually sold urinals like this. And furthermore, The inscription Ar Mutt 1917 is thought to look like Freytag Loringhoven's handwriting. The main clue lies, of course, in her works. Freytag Loringhoven produced several ready-mades. A famous one is a water pipe she titled God, which was made more or less during the same period in which Duchamp invented his first ready-made bottle rack. What is less well known is that she had actually produced one before. It was 1913 when she picked up a rusted ring off the street and named this found object Enduring Ornament. A year before, Duchamp bought his bottle rack in Paris and put it on show in his studio. Despite this evidence, a century later, it's impossible to say who had the idea, who bought and signed the pissoir, who ultimately sent it in. Perhaps it was the punk Baroness. Perhaps it was Duchamp. Perhaps her work had inspired him. We'll probably never know for certain, and perhaps it doesn't matter anyway. The work exists, its influence too. So what does it change whether a man or a woman made it? On the surface, not a lot. And yet the story opens up a lot of broader questions about women's place in the art world. For a start, we could ask ourselves whether people would have talked about Fountain quite so much if they'd thought a woman had made it. Might people not have laughed about it more? Might they not have said, look here, women clearly aren't made for art. They're capable of going shopping but can't produce anything themselves. For another, wouldn't it be great to know how art history might have been written if we'd thought the most influential work of the new era had been made by a woman? In that case, mightn't names like Una Cazurne, Jacqueline Lamba, Leonora Carrington, Leonore Fini, Lee Miller, Dora Maar, Frida Kahlo, and all the others perhaps have been recognized and well-known sooner? Might they have got the same amount of exhibition space and airtime as artists like Max Ernst, Man Ray, André Breton, Hans Bellmer, Picasso, and company? It took more than half a century before the women of the avant-garde were even half recognized. Recognized in the sense of being artists, not muses. And even if the case of Duchamp versus Freytag Loringhoven doesn't seem solvable, there are enough other examples out there of women's work being ascribed to men. The Villa E, 1027, in Roquebrune, Cap Martin, for example. For decades, it was said that this beautiful house on the French Riviera had been designed by Le Corbusier. But then, at some point, it was discovered, en passant, that it was actually the work of Irish designer and architect Eileen Gray. The original assumption had been made because Le Corbusier, once a friend of Gray's, had marked the house like a dog would, artistically pissed on it, in other words. When she was out one day, he painted one of his frescoes on a wall without asking, thereby licensing himself to mess with her work, ruining the idea of a luminous white apparition above the sea, and not entirely unintentionally stealing authorship of the house for himself. As such, on the one hand, it doesn't matter who bought that urinal, inscribed and submitted it, but on the other hand, Hustvedt is right about one thing. We need to rewrite the history of art and women's place within it.